And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Dozens of child-sized raven's tail robes will be danced for the first time tomorrow. Master weaver Lily Hope said it's the largest collection of new raven's tail weaving in decades. The event at Centennial Hall will teach the history and future of raven's tail weaving, or Yaeth Kwu, Hope said in an interview on Juno Afternoon earlier this month.
This particular history and telling of where we are now and how we got here has never been shared on this scale.
Weaver Ray Mills joined Hope on the show. They shared their love of weaving and the community that forms around it.
I've never felt so whole and so complete and just so healed as when I'm able to share something so special. The fact that these things were done by our ancestors and we almost lost them and they were woken back up and we are still able to share this knowledge and happiness and love, and it's been amazing to be a part of.
The day-long event will begin with a weavers' gathering that's open to the public. Anyone in Juneau can come to see over 40 weavers at work and speak with them about what they're weaving. Hope says the weavers will be scrambling to put the finishing touches on the robes. And during the evening event, Mills says students from Harborview Elementary's Tlingit Culture Language Literacy Program will dance the robes, bringing them to life.
These new works are going to dance and, you know, it'll be high energy and enthusiastic. And I'm just smiling, like my face is already hurting, thinking about these beings coming to life and taking their first steps together.
The gathering will be open to the public from 11 to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, with a ticketed event in the evening. Tickets are available at lilyhope.com. On Friday, the robes will go on to an exhibit at the Juno Douglas City Museum. And a disclosure, KTOO 360 TV is contracted to broadcast Tuesday's event. It will air live on KTOO 360 TV and stream on kto.org and lilyhope.com beginning at 5:30. And now for the latest installment of Curious Juno from KTOO's Adeline Baxter.
Most days of the week, Juno residents pull up to the City Recycling Center in Lemon Creek and methodically separate the plastics, tin, glass, aluminum, and cardboard they've used over the past week. Then they get back in their cars to continue their errands, which probably involve a stop at Costco. Over the years, several listeners have asked KTOO where all that recycling ends up. A few even wonder if it's really getting reused, or if some of it ends up in a landfill. And what about contamination? Can putting an item in the wrong bin cause Juno's recycling to end up in the trash? In this Curious Juno, I attempt to get to the bottom of all that plastic and glass, figuratively speaking. Let's start with the basics. How good is Juno at recycling? Well, according to Stuart Ashton, the city's RecycleWorks operations manager, pretty darn good. We're standing outside the city facility on a rainy day.
Juno residents generally are absolutely excellent when it comes to contamination in their recyclables.
He says Juno sees a very small amount of contamination in the recycled materials shipped out.
Our stuff is considered the gold standard. They will actually take it, and if they've got a tour coming up, they'll bring that stuff out and for observation because it's so good. It's that good.
The tours he's talking about are at a recycling facility in Tacoma, Washington. That's where Juno's plastic, paper, aluminum, and tin end up. It's run by Waste Management, the same national company that runs Juno's landfill. Juno's curbside recycling program is run by Alaska Waste, and it does have a higher contamination rate, probably because there's less oversight compared to the open-air building where people toss materials into the correct bin.
Here we have lots, it's very, very public. There's lots of other people and friends and just people helping each other recycle here, as well as the labor provided through our contract by Waste Management. They have a people here that assist and correct and help people, show them where they're supposed to go.
Curbside or not, all recyclables in Juno end up at the city's facility. Most of it eventually leaves town, but not all of it. Waste Management actually grinds up all of the glass. Ashton says they use it in place of gravel for road remediation or for perforated pipes used to capture methane as it escapes the landfill. In short, it keeps it less stinky.
It is our best reused material in this town, from my perspective.
As for the rest of it, it all gets condensed into big cubes by the baler, that's the huge machine inside the building. Then it's shipped by barge to Waste Management's Tacoma facility. They process about 180,000 tons of material per year. Ashton says Juno makes up about 1,400 tons of that, or 0.007%. Jackie Lang, with Waste Management's Northwest Region, says there's always room for improvement, but Juno's reputation for good recycling outshines many of the communities they serve.
We see that in the material that we receive from Juno. We see that residents and businesses are working hard to put the right material in the right container.
In Tacoma, industrial-scale machines sort Juno's recycling before it gets shipped to end markets. In a video shared by Waste Management, materials fly by on conveyor belts inside a huge warehouse.
Plastics sorted at this particular recycling facility end up in fleece-type clothing and backpacks. Some plastics are made into rigid plastic products like plastic buckets or maybe laundry baskets or storage bins. Tin cans are recycled into rebar. Aluminum cans become new aluminum cans.
Cardboard boxes become new boxes. Water bottles become new water bottles. You get the idea. Lang says contamination does happen. Soggy or greasy pizza boxes, for example, end up in the trash. She didn't provide any numbers for how much of the recycling Juno sends south gets turned into new products and how much ends up in a landfill. But she said because of its quality, most of it gets recycled. The market for processed recycling fluctuates constantly based on global supply and demand. Lang acknowledged that it dipped in the past year, but she says Waste Management recently invested millions of dollars to improve equipment at its Tacoma facility to make sure that more of what they receive does get recycled.
Recyclables that arrive at our recycling center are sorted and shipped to manufacturers who are waiting for that material. So the demand is reliable and steady.
And that's good news. More and more, headlines and studies warn us about the threat of microplastics in our environment. Recycling has long been touted as the way to avoid plastics pollution. But a recent report from the Center for Climate Integrity investigates how the oil and plastics industries used recycling as a public relations tool for decades, despite privately acknowledging that it often costs more to recycle than it does to make new plastic. Back in Juno, Ashton says it's vital to remain conscientious about recycling, because it diverts waste away from the local landfill. The dump is expected to be full in the next two decades, raising questions about what Juno will do with its trash in the future. In Juno, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And just as Juno has decided to consolidate the school district, the Anchorage School District is looking at closing schools due to steadily declining student population and decreasing birth rates in the city. At a school board work session last week, administrators framed the potential closures as right-sizing the number of schools. The district has nearly 6,000 fewer students than it did in 2010. District Engagement Director Tony Riley said the district plans to do a better job involving the community than they did prior to the closing of Abbott Loop Elementary in 2022.
So we really want to make sure that the community understands the impact of our declining enrollment, particularly on our levels of service.
Since 2010, the district has closed three elementary schools. District staff say the closures are not due to budget constraints, but an effort to streamline services to better reflect the current number of students. Chief Operating Officer Jim Anderson declined to predict which schools will close or how many. He says the district will take 6 months to engage with the community before making any decisions.
We really are trying to get feedback from the community to find out what's palatable, what's acceptable, what they're willing to embrace. And I think it's just a little premature to pick a number.
Anderson says that some buildings may be closed as schools, but leased or repurposed to provide childcare or other needed services. The district hopes to identify all the schools that will be slated for closure by December. And for a quick look at the weather, we're looking at mid-50s and drier weather throughout most of the work week. Starting tomorrow, we should see some partial sun. That's all for the KTOO newscast. You can check out more stories at ktoo.org.